Hare Krishna. So let's recite few verses. Text number 12. Kangshantaha karmanam siddhim.
Kangshantaha karmanam siddhim.
Yajanta iha devata.
Yajanta iha devata.
Shibramhimanushe loke.
Shibramhimanushe loke.
Siddhir bhavati karmaja. Chaturvarnam maya shrishtam.
Chaturvarnam maya shrishtam.
Gunakarma vibhagashah.
Gunakarma vibhagashah.
Tasya kartaram apimam.
Tasya kartam apimam.
Vidhi akartaram avyayam.
Vidhi akartaram avyayam.
Namam karmani limpanti.
Namam karmani limpanti.
Name karma phale spriha.
Name karma phale spriha.
Iti mamyo bijanati.
Iti mamyo bijanati.
Karma bhirna sabadhyate.
Karma bhirna sabadhyate.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Men in this world desire success in fruitive activities, and therefore they worship the demigods. Quickly, of course, men get results from fruitive work in this world. So in text number 11, Krishna explained, or rather clarified, one misconception that God is partial. He explained how he is completely impartial. He is reciprocal. He reciprocates with whatever intention we approach him. And with whatever bhav we look at Krishna, that's how he appears and that's how he reciprocates. Now in text number 12, he clarifies another important point, that if he is everything, as he has explained in the previous verses also, he incarnates again and again into this world, then why don't people worship him if he is the supreme? So he explains that most of the people in this world, men in this world, desire fruitive success in fruitive activities, and therefore they worship the demigods, because people are not interested in God in this world. They are only interested in one thing: how to get what they want. It's like they are only interested in fulfilling their desire. They are not interested in God. There are four levels at which people approach God. The lowest level is the level of fear. Some people start worshipping God because fear is instilled in their hearts. And that happens mostly in the Western countries, that if you don't do this, you will go to hell forever. God will throw thunderbolts at you. And even in our traditions, we must have heard, I don't know, it doesn't work on the present generation though, but previous generations, the mothers-in-law, the mothers would instill this fear in their children. If you don't do this on Monday or Tuesday, he will get angry, this particular devata will get angry, there will be a reaction, that fear. So it works sometimes. So the lowest level is the level of fear, where people start worshipping God because they are scared of anything going wrong. So they start doing it, but this is not the highest level of worship, because it's just coming, it's a negative way, kind of. Higher than that is the level of desires. Some people start worshipping God because they have certain desires to be fulfilled in their hearts, and therefore they start worshipping, they start following some spiritual path because desires need to be fulfilled. But these people cannot be called as devotees of God. They are devotees of desires, because they are not coming to God because they just like him. They are coming because the product that they are looking for is available in that particular shop. Right? Some people, they're not interested in the person who is selling, they're interested in the product. So these people are the devotees of desires. So this is second level at which people approach God. But higher than that is some people approach God out of duty, third level, and out of gratitude. Oh, he has given me so much. He has blessed me so much. So it's my duty to at least say thank you. So some people start doing that. So many pious people do that. Okay, there is so much blessings on me showered by the Lord, and therefore I must do something in reciprocation. So that is, still this is not the highest level of worship, because we are doing something in return, because we have been shown some favor. It's still not completely selfless. And the fourth level and the highest level is the level of love, where we worship God because we just love him. There is love, devotion, and whether he does something for us or he doesn't do anything, that's not our concern. We just love him and we'll do that. And most of the people are in the first or the second level, and most of them are in the second level who start worshipping because they want something. Very fortunate souls, rare souls, they are curious, they want to know about him. So these are called Mahatmas or fortunate souls by Krishna. So there are different levels, but most of the people in this world, in this universe, they are known as fruitive workers. What is a fruitive worker? Fruitive worker means one who does something to get something back, to get something in return. And this give and take policy. So now there are certain personalities who are in charge of providing the necessities of life. Third chapter, if you remember, we discussed the demigods. Krishna said that as soon as he created this world, he also brought forth the demigods in charge of the various necessities of life and also the process of yajna. So the human beings who are only interested in their desires, they will perform yajnas, and because of which the demigods will get strength, and in return they will provide all the necessities of life. So most of the people, because they are only interested in their desires, therefore they don't end up worshipping God. They just end up worshipping, okay, this personality can fulfill this desire. Good son, good husband, good wife, good health, wealth, education. Because people only are interested in what they are looking, what they want, desires. That's why people worship the demigods, and even though Krishna is the supreme. And Krishna says, quickly, of course, men get results from fruitive work in this world. But this is due to lack of knowledge and ignorance, thinking that God cannot fulfill our desires. See, if his servants can do that, why can't he do it himself? So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is after the Gita, one step ahead of the Gita, it explains Akamah Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Udaradi Tibrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param, that whether one has material desires or spiritual desires or desires for liberation, one must only approach the Supreme Lord Krishna, because he knows how to best fulfill those desires. Because ultimately, even if the devatas you are praying for the fulfillment of our desires, they cannot fulfill our desires unless sanctioned by the Lord himself. Like in a big organization, there is one CEO, then there are people under him, and there are other workers under him. So the who are at the second level, they cannot give the ordinary workers what they want unless they get the sanction from the highest authority. Ultimately, it's coming from the highest authority, but coming through them. So they have to get it sanctioned. So why not approach the directly the Supreme Lord, who is anyways providing for everyone? And even it's a misconception to think that if we go to Krishna, so many people get scared. One of the names of Krishna is Hari. Have you heard this name, Hari? Hari.
Yeah.
But what is the meaning of the word Hari? Hari has two meanings. Generally people think Hari means jo sab har lete hain, sab le lete hain, sab chhin lete hain. No. If you look into the history, some of the most wealthiest and opulent people have been Krishna's devotees, never deprived of anything, and most famous. So Hari has two meanings. One is called Sarva Amangal Hare. Amangal is inauspiciousness. So one who steals away all kinds of inauspiciousness from one's life is called Hari. He takes away all types of inauspiciousness from a person's life who comes in touch with him. And second is Prem Diya Hare Man, and he steals our heart by giving us love for him. That's the meaning of the word Hari. It has two meanings. But Hari is not something like humse chheen lenge. He is not in need of anything. He is not suffering so that he has to take things away from us. That he does to only very, very, very advanced devotees who don't want any of these things and who just want him. So then he makes arrangements by which all the devotees have is just him, himself. But he is very well known to be magnanimous and rewarding his devotees with the best things in the world. So there is a nice story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very, very auspicious story of Dhruv Maharaj, a little boy called Dhruv. And this story is so, so auspicious that it is explained that anybody who hears this story is showered with unlimited grace. There is a huge list of blessings that are showered on people who hear this story. So Bhagavatam stories are so powerful because they are the auspicious narrations of God. So every time we come together to hear about the Lord, we are blessed, we are getting blessed. Blessings are being showered upon us. And we don't realize it immediately, but in the long run we'll understand. It's all auspicious. So this boy, he's 5 years old. And he also had a stepmother. His mother's name was Suniti and his stepmother's name was Suniti. And stepmother was younger. And she also had a son whose name was Uttam. This is Dhruv. So one day, Dhruva entered his father's chamber, or you can say room where he lived. Because he was the king, he is the emperor of the planet. His name was Maharaj Uttanpal. So he had put his stepbrother Uttam on his lap. So Dhruva, like any other child, also wanted to sit on his father's lap. And as he went closer to his father, and he tried to get onto his father's lap, but his father was hesitant to put him on his lap. Why? Because his other wife, who happened to be the stepmother of Dhruva, was standing very close, and he knew that this wife of his was very envious of the other wife. She wouldn't like it if I took Dhruva on my lap, and therefore he was scared, and he favored this younger queen more than the other queen. So even in Satyuga, this is like way, way back, we had these kind of things. And Dhruva is a 5-year-old boy, and just try to imagine his situation. 5-year-old boy, and the father is the emperor, still he is deprived of what he wants. So this is the nature of the world, that even if we have the best of facilities around us, that doesn't guarantee happiness, that doesn't guarantee satisfaction, that doesn't guarantee success in every endeavor. So his greatest shelter betrayed him. This is the nature. Sometimes we put so much faith in people, and those people only will betray us. And situations become like, it's not that they might want to do it deliberately all the time, but situations are such. For example, in the Mahabharata we see, this is called destiny. Destiny is bigger than us. And therefore we need God's shelter, therefore we need Krishna's shelter. Because if we keep fighting with our destiny, we'll always lose. But Krishna is bigger than destiny. God is bigger than destiny. So if we can gain access to His grace, then we can actually surpass our destiny. Destiny can change only by God's intervention in our life. Otherwise, we just keep fighting with our destiny and that's it. So Draupadi, just understand, Draupadi, she was brought into that assembly and the order was given to Dushasan, strip her naked. Karna gave that suggestion. And in those days, Dwapar Yuga, it was unheard of. A lady, first of all, being brought into an assembly where all men are sitting, and then to be stripped naked, it was the worst thing. So, the worst adharma. So, Draupadi was brought into this assembly. She is the most chaste lady, and she is also very pious. And she happened to be a princess. And she is brought into this assembly, despite having all the, and she has the most powerful husbands on the planet, the five Pandavas. And she had in that assembly the great Bhishma, Drona, Kripacharya, Kritavarma, Dhritarashtra. All these powerful people were sitting. And still, the situation was such, none of them could help her. She was running to everyone. Even the Pandavas became helpless. This is called destiny. Why did Draupadi have to go through all this? Because of her past life. There was some mistake she had performed. And Krishna told this story to the Pandavas when they were in exile later on. And he said, and then Draupadi ultimately called out to whom? Who ultimately could help her? Her husbands couldn't. Her elders couldn't. The only person who could help her was Krishna when she called out to him. Very powerful lesson that there will be situations in life where everything else and everyone else will eventually fail. Not like deliberately people try to fail to help us, but ultimately the Lord is the maintainer and the protector of everyone. So you might as well take His shelter always. Always seek His blessing, seek His shelter, because His blessings, His protection never fails. He never betrays us. That is Krishna's nature. And Krishna told this story to the Pandavas in the Mahabharata. This whole story, her past life, why she had to go through all this. And Krishna says that she was supposed to go through all this, but fortunately she called out to me and therefore she was protected. So fortunately, otherwise she would have gone through worse. So because she called out to Krishna, Krishna said therefore she got protected, she was given that protection. Otherwise she had to go through worse situations. So in any situation, whatever the destiny might be, but when you call out to the Lord, He always protects you. This story of Dhruva is a classic example that even if we have material desires, we have limited capacity, people. Now, what was Dhruva lacking? His father was the emperor of the planet. I mean, he was the unrivaled king in those days. And still, he was deprived of using all those facilities just because of one envious person. So when he was trying to get onto the lap of his father, his father did not help him. He didn't even pay attention because he was scared of losing the favor of his other wife. And the other wife, Suruchi, was envious by nature, and she understood. Another important lesson we learn here. Suruchi, when she understood that the king favored her the most, and because of her, he didn't want her stepson to sit on his lap, she became even more proud. And she started abusing Dhruva, the 5-year-old boy. This is another thing, that if we show undue favor to somebody who is not mature, who is not pure at heart, those people take undue advantage. And the king was like completely controlled by her. And she started saying, Dhruva, you are not qualified to sit on the lap of your father. Your effort is doomed to fail. And if you want to sit on the lap of your father, then you have to go and worship Lord Vishnu. And if he is pleased with you, then he will give you birth through my womb. What did she say? You are not qualified to sit on the lap of your father because you are not born from my womb. Look at the height of false pride. And she says, if Lord Vishnu is pleased with you, then he might give you birth through my womb. I mean, just see the height of arrogance that Lord Vishnu will do, will be blessed to put Dhruva in her womb, as if she was greater than the Lord also. So Dhruva is a Kshatriya, and Kshatriyas by nature, they can't take insults. They can't neglect or ignore challenges. They can't say no to challenges. So they have to, and it's a Kshatriya Dharma. And it's in their blood, it's in their nature. So Dhruva, when he heard, he was hissing like a snake. He went to his mother, crying. That's 5-year-old child, crying. And when his mother, Suniti, saw that her son was crying, for a mother to see her child crying helplessly, that's the greatest pain. So when she saw what happened, she asked. The other ladies in the palace, they had seen and heard what had happened. They related all the incidents to Dhruva's mother. And her face turned pale, as if like a leaf burnt in forest fire. How does it become? It loses its color, it becomes dry. That's how Suniti's face became. And she was deeply pained. But then she had the name Suniti. Suniti means one who always gives good advice. That's the meaning of the name. And she was like that. She was the personification of that name. What is the first thing she told Dhruva? Very instructive. She said, Dhruva, do not harbor any negative feelings towards anyone just because you have been insulted. Because anybody who does so will have to face the reaction. If you think ill of others, then you will be the one who will suffer eventually. You will also get that karma. Karma word she didn't use, but she said a person who harbors ill feelings towards somebody gets hurt by the same feelings himself. And then next good advice she gave. First thing she said, my dear son, I cannot help you because your father does not show me any love. He doesn't even consider me a maid servant. And it's unfortunate because you're born from my womb. But then she said, what your stepmother told you is right. I think the only person who can help you in this situation is Lord Vishnu. And only because of his blessings, Lord Brahma, your great grandfather. So his great grandfather was Brahma, Dhruva's great grandfather. It's a very nice story. And his father was Swayambhu Manu. So Manu se aata word Manushya. So his grandfather was Manu and his great-grandfather was Brahma, who is the topmost living being in the universe. So she said, only by Lord Vishnu's blessings, your great-grandfather Brahma is sitting on that position. And only by his blessings, your father enjoyed unrivaled kingdom. So you must go and please him. So Dhruva asked, because he was so eager to get what he wanted. You know what happened? When Dhruva was not allowed to sit on the lap of his father, he got so angry, you know, children and plus a Kshatriya. He said, I was not allowed to sit on the lap of my father. Now I want a kingdom greater than even my great-grandfather for myself. And that which did not even exist. He wanted that. That means a position greater than that of Brahma. He wanted that. So what are our desires compared to this? We have tiny desires. Look at Dhruva's desire. This is the kind of material desire he had. And so he asked his mother, where can I find Lord Vishnu? So mother said, I don't know, but I've heard that when these sages want to find him, they go to the forest. Immediately Dhruva left to the forest. Immediately. He didn't wait. 5-year-old boy, he was so determined, he didn't even wait for a second. And he started entering the forest. He entered deep into the forest. In those days, forests were actually forest, infested with the most ferocious animals, demons were living. And just a 5-year-old boy, now going into the forest to search out or to look for God. And as soon as he did that, you know what happened? News spread all over the universe without any social media. Because they had much more advanced technology. And it's a fact. When one soul, he turns his face towards Krishna, turns his face towards God, and he starts walking on this path, the news literally spreads all over the universe. Not on this planet, but where it is supposed to spread. Even the devatas and demigods, the Lord himself becomes interested in that person. So this Dhruva is going now to look for God, to find out where Lord Vishnu is and get what he wants. So when somebody starts walking towards God or even develops a desire to know God, to understand God, to look for him, then the first thing that happens in that person's life is that what happened in Dhruva's life. In the middle of the forest, from nowhere, Narad Muni, the great sage, appears. The Guru. So when a person develops a desire to search for God, the Lord understands our desire. Suppose we have 10 desires, right? And then the 10th desire we have is, I also want to know about God more and more. I want to understand Him. I want to know Him. So when the Lord sees this desire, He brings it to the top of the list. He fulfills that first. Because any which way, nobody is coming to Him in Kali Yuga especially. And one soul starts having a desire, so He fulfills that first. So immediately what happens? A Guru is sent into our life. The Lord's representatives. The Lord orders that now this soul wants to come to me. Now you, but the Lord is completely spiritual. With these eyes we cannot see Him, we cannot understand Him with our limited intelligence. So the Lord sends a Guru into our life, and the Guru, through the process of hearing, chanting, He trains us up so that we become qualified to see God face to face. And this is the first installment of Krishna's mercy into our life when He sends His representative. So when a Guru enters our life, we should know God is not far away. So when somebody develops a desire to understand God or walk on this path, even if the person is sitting in the remotest corner of the universe, in that place also the Lord will send His representative, or we will be guided to the right person. So Narad Muni came, and Narad Muni first tested Dhruva's determination, because children do and say anything, and after they take a nap, morning they get up, they've forgotten everything. So Narad Muni was actually trying to figure out whether this boy is serious or not. So he said, Dhruva, why do you roam around in the forest? What do you want? He said, you have been insulted by your mother, but what do the children know about your insult? Just go home, play, and the kind of desire you have and the kind of process that you want to accept to get your desire fulfilled is difficult even for the yogis. Plus, you should remember that whatever happens to us is our own karma, so we should not get angry with the instruments of our own karma, accept it. So Dhruva said, listen Narad Muni, at the moment I cannot, all this doesn't make sense to me, because my heart is pierced with the sharp words of my mother, stepmother. So if you can show me the way, then you tell me, otherwise you go your way, I am going mine. And then Narad was happy, he then blessed Dhruva. It's a long story. And then he gave him the process of severe austerities. Even essentially the process was to control his mind and senses, withdraw them from the external things and focus on the Lord, meditation along with chanting of the Lord's name, and also worshipping his deity and regularly remembering the Lord's leelas, pastime. So this is a simple process. Chanting God's name, worshipping his deity and hearing about him. This simple process has the power to bring us face to face with God in no time. Hearing, chanting. And Dhruva followed that. Such severe austerities. 5-year-old boy. First month, he just ate some roots and fruits which were available in the forest every 3 days. Once every 3 days. Second month, he only subsisted on water every 6 days. Third month, he intensified his austerity. He was just surviving on some leaves, dry leaves. He was eating that once in 9 days. And fourth month, he only subsisted on some water. Did I mention water earlier? Water I mentioned, I think. And then fourth month, he was only breathing once in 12 days. That's a kind of stability he acquired. And then eventually Lord Vishnu appears. And when Lord Vishnu appears, what happens? Dhruva loses his desire, because he got completely purified at heart. And he was so satisfied just by seeing the Lord's beauty. And the Lord says, so Dhruva, what do you want? He offered beautiful prayers, of course. So Dhruva said, I don't want anything. I'm just happy seeing you. I don't want anything now. So what did the Lord say? He said, yes, I know you don't want anything now, but still you came to me with a particular desire. And the desire that you came to me with, it is most difficult to fulfill. But since I am very pleased with you, I will grant it. So there are two types of people in this world. And mostly the first type of, the people go to God and they have a long list. God, I want this. God, I want this. Full list. So imagine you are sitting in your office and subah se sham tak, people coming to you. Sir, I want this. Madam, I want this. Madam, I want. How would you feel by the end of the day? Sab log lene ko aa rahe. Abhi ye chahiye, wo chahiye, ye chahiye. How would you feel?
Exhausted.
Sab. And then at the end of the day, say one person comes and he says, Madam, what do you need? May I do something for you? How would you feel?
Touched.
And then in return, you would want to do something for that person, even if that person doesn't ask for anything. So most of the people go to God, give me this, like that. And imagine one person goes to God. He says, I don't want anything. Just tell me, how may I serve you? How may I please you? How will the Lord feel? He's also a person. So the Lord was touched by Dhruva's austerity. At such a young age, he was so determined. He said, so there are two ways to get your desires fulfilled. One is, mangte raho, the Lord will theek hai le. And the better way is, instead of trying to ask for something, do something to please him. And even without asking, he will grant all our desires. Imagine a person you are in love with, you love. Wouldn't you fulfill that person's desire even without being asked, like your children? They don't have to ask you, you understand. And if somebody does something to please you, you'll be most happy to favor that person. So instead of asking from God, give me this, give me that, we should say, God, how may I please you? Because when the Lord is pleased with us, he will give us more than what we deserve and more than what we desire, even without asking. To dono kaam ho jate hain, bhagwan bhi khush ho gaye aur jitna chahiye tha usse zyada mil bhi jata hai. So this is called moving from selflessness to selfishness to selflessness. Rather than asking, we will come in that rare category where we are asking God, what do you want? How may I serve you? How may I please you? These are the only two prayers we should be making. And the Lord is pleased. He will automatically, without asking, fulfill everything. And Krishna has explained in the Bhagavatam that anybody who pleases me, it's my duty to fulfill that person's every desire. So, devotional service is the only thing that pleases Krishna. Neither dhyana, karma, jnana, sab se is not pleased. He is only pleased with bhakti. Again and again he says in the Gita. And bhakti begins with hearing, spending our valuable time hearing, chanting his names is the most powerful way to express our bhakti. And so the Lord said, Dhruva, the desire that you have, it's very difficult, but I will grant it. I'll give it to you because I'm very pleased with you. And what did Dhruva want? A kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, which did not exist, materially speaking. So within a material universe, Lord Brahma's planet is the supreme, at the top of the universe, the last planet. So it is explained that if you travel with the speed of light for 40,000 years, you will reach Brahmaloka, Lord Brahma's planet. 40,000 years, that's really high, high up in the universe. But there is only one place within the universe, within every universe, there is also a small Vaikuntha planet where Lord Vishnu resides. From where he sends incarnations whenever there is a need in this world, and he maintains that universe. So that is much, much superior to Brahmaloka. So what did the Lord do? The Lord said, your desire is very difficult to get fulfilled, but I'll grant it because you have pleased me, and therefore I will grant you the effulgent pole star. And this planet has never ever been ruled before. This planet can never be conquered by anybody. And this planet is most worshipable by all the other planets. They circumambulate this planet. And you know which planet was this? This was the Lord's own home, own planet. The Lord was so pleased with Dhruva that he gave the kingship of this planet to Dhruva. And he also said, now you go back and you will enjoy the kingship of this planet for many, many years as long as you live. Your sensory power will never diminish and you will perform lots of yajnas and rituals. And at the end of your life, you will also come back to me to reside in the pole star forever. And you know what that pole star is known as now? We know him by the name Dhruva Tara or Dhruva Loka. So the Lord gave his own planet to his own devotee. He made him the king. That's how magnanimous the Lord is. That if we please him, he can go to any extent to fulfill any desire that we have. So the point is, Krishna later on says that less intelligent people, they worship demigods. Why? For two reasons. Because the benefits given by them are temporary. And plus, they are ultimately granted by the Lord only. So why not go to him directly? So why not approach the boss directly? So that's what Krishna is saying. Since people are not interested in him, they're less intelligent because they don't understand that even if they get what they want from devatas, the benefits are temporary, they're not long-lasting. Plus, they don't understand they are ultimately sanctioned by me. And they're not interested in me, they're only interested in their desires. That's why they end up worshipping the demigods. And they quickly get results also because the devatas are duty bound to give what their worshippers ask from them. So this is the summary of the 12th verse. I'm going slow in these two, three, because these three are very, very important verses. So I'm taking like one at a time. How much ever we try to elaborate, we can speak on one verse only for 2 months. But let's see. But the understanding has to be clear, and we don't have to finish the Bhagavad Gita. Finish means murder karna nahi hai. So even if we like understand one particular verse or few verses, that will change our whole life. So We'll go at our speed, as and when. Sometimes we'll be able to cover 10 verses, sometimes it may be 1 or 2 verses. So let's see. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.